Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for our fathers today, Lord God, for truly you have blessed many of us with wonderful dads. And for those, Lord God, whose fathers did not live up to the expectations, Lord God, we pray for them also. Bless us now this day, God, as we have come to hear a word about our dads, a good word about fathers who have done their best. And today we bless each and every father. Be with them and guide them, Lord God. Fathers and grandfathers and all those who have stood in the gap in taking care of children, whether they are their own or not. Speak, Lord God, for we're listening. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our Father. You are everything that we need. In Christ's name, amen. And so today is Father's Day, friends. I do have 2 pieces of equipment I'm using. All right, let me get this. Today's Father's Day, and you know, those of us who are, you know, we get a little teary-eyed when it comes to Father's Day, and because we no longer have our fathers, and there are those of us who still have our fathers, and we cherish them. And we have great memories of them. Amen? Amen. And so I want to begin with this brief reflection. This picture says, give the fathers a scripture here. It says, "Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Really, King James. I haven't seen that word in a while. Right? King James. Good old King James, right? And that is from Joshua. And a scripture of giving strength, you know, strength and not to be afraid. And so I wanted to begin with this, the power of a praying father. The sermon title, but I want to begin with this reflection: spending on Mother's Day versus Father's Day. Now, which one do we think is higher? Mother's Day, right? It says here, who gets the most attention on their special day, moms or dad? Here's a breakdown on the stats for Mother's Day and Father's Day spending. Number of people who celebrate Mother's Day, 84.5%. Number celebrating Father's Day, 76.1%. Not bad, right? We're hoping we'll all be there at the same spot. Overall spending, and I was going to put it up, but I didn't have a chance. Very busy week. Overall spending on Mother's Day, can you imagine? Can anybody guess? $19.9 billion that we spend on Mother's Day. And on Father's Day, overall spending on Father's Day, $12.5 billion. We're spending a lot of money on our loved ones. Average spending per person in the U.S. for Mother's Day is $162.94. And the average spending on Father's Day is $113.80. It's all those ties they're buying them. You know, the ties and the pajamas and the socks. People who give a card to mom, 81.3%. And people who give a card to dad, 64.1%. So the clear winner is mom, although dads come out ahead in at least one category. 43% of dads will get an apparel gift compared to 33 80% of moms. So dads enjoy that tie, the article says. Amen?
Amen.
But so whatever happens, people are cherishing their parents. Right? They're trying their best to cherish them. And we know why mothers are so, you know, are so popular, because oftentimes, you know, men are out working and the mothers are home with the children. And of course, we know that mothers give birth, right? And so that is a big task, men, a big task. And so we see that mothers are popular. But no matter what, we do love our dads, because without a dad, there wouldn't be a mother. And without a mother, there wouldn't be a dad. You know, it's a partnership, isn't it? Amen? And when it's a good partnership, it works. And as my sermon title says today, and when you have, next slide, and when you have a father who prays, when you have a father who prays, it is even better. When you have a father who knows God and prays, it is even better. Amen? And you know, I know that there's a lot of things going on in the world, a lot of conflict in the U.S. with young men and young men especially, of any race, it doesn't even matter. And I do believe it's because there are men, a lot of men who do not get involved in churches or are there for their children anymore. That, you know, that even though mothers are important, you know, when you look at the makeup of a church, oftentimes they're more women than men. But young men need to see their fathers involved in churches or whatever their religions are, but fathers who could set an example for them. I really think that is missing a lot in our society. I think sometimes men have been demasculated so much, and we women, we know we can be strong, we could take on everything, but God planned it that a child would have a mother and a father, right? It is the plan. We know that things happen, divorce and people, absentees and all of that, but I think that's why we're having so much problems with the youth, the young people. Because there, and especially young boys, young men, because there is no father figure for them to emulate. And they emulate what they see on the streets. Because we're all going to try to do what? To be like someone. And many of them are emulating what they see on TV, right? And they do terrible things in our community. So we want to emphasize that we know that fathers are very important in the lives of children, of their families, overall in the lives of their families. And so here we are. Let me just put this in. Okay, and so here we are talking about the power of a praying father. There is power in a praying father. You know, I must use this example of myself. I know my father prayed, but I really never saw him on his knees praying. But I always saw my mother on her knees praying, right? It is a thing that you see your mom praying. And I wonder what my brother is not with us anymore, but I wonder what he would think, as a man not seeing dad praying the same way mom does. But, you know, people pray in different ways. So my mother's example was very clear. You know, she always had the Bible. She always would be praying to God on her knees. My father was a very, quiet man. And but I'm sure he prayed, and because he would say every now and then, you're gonna be all right. You know, when he was telling us we're gonna take exams or something. Because we took exams to go to high school, and we took exams when in Jamaica. We had to take exams called O-levels and A-levels, because we were under British rule. And they were tough exams, and it would be the paper. And he would come to me, and he would say, you're going to be all right. You know, I'm with you, and God is with you. You know, so we know that there are men who come in their own way, and they pray. Next slide. And so today I want to talk about what we see from the Bible with praying fathers. And when we look at the first scripture, Psalm 42, it is a psalm of David. A lot of these psalms come from a man, right? Come from men. And we women read them, and we learn from them, and we take from them, but they were written by men, right? And this Psalm 42 is a psalm of David. And David is writes this psalm, and I'm just giving you a couple of verses here. When he's in distress, he knows that he has to seek God, right? So my first point is, you know, the prayer of a father will touch the heart of God, will and can touch the heart of God, not just our mothers, right? A prayer of our father will and can touch the heart of God. And so I want to tell you young men who are not fathers yet, who will be looking online, to let you know that you should develop a prayer life, because you can touch the heart of God just like the mothers can. Do not relegate praying for your family and your children to your wives. We all have to build a relationship with Jesus Christ for ourselves. Amen? Because we all stand before God alone. And so David is longing for God, and he needs help in distress. He's in a bad place, and he needs help. And so he writes in this psalm, as the deer longs for the flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. Coming from a man seeking God, he says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where shall I come and behold the face of God? You know that song that we sing that says, oh, as the deer, right? Na 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 na. So my soul longs for you. So man longs for God in their own way. And it's okay. It doesn't make a man weak because a man longs for God and seeks God. And so David is here in need, and he's telling in this psalm that he longs for God. He needs God in his life, right? And he's running for his life. They're coming after him, and he seeks God, seeks to be in relationship with God. At the end of the psalm, he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted with me? Hope in God, he's telling his soul. For I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Can you imagine hearing your dad say words like that in their own form, knowing that they need God in their life? And then my next point is, a praying father will set an example for the family, will and can set an example for the family. And so we see that story, right? We see that story in the gospel. Here is Jairus. It says, when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And just then there was a man named Jairus. He was a leader of the synagogue. That means he was high up there, right? But look what he did. He fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, who was dying. So he did not think that he was too big or too high to kneel at Jesus' feet, right? What an example he was setting for the family. He knelt at Jesus' feet, because he knows his child needed Jesus, right? He didn't call his wife and says, you go talk to Jesus. He did it. Can you imagine if a child in a home see a father reading the Bible and praying to Jesus? Can you imagine the impact you make on that child's life, right? The impact, the change That is not wimpy to love God. And if you are a believer, that child will see it. It is not wimpy. And sometimes men don't go to church. I mean, my father did not go to church as often as he should have. And sometimes I think I've shared this before, my mother, I used to say, I was very close to my dad. And I said to my mother, she sent us to church every Sunday. I would just say, Mom, why do we have to go every Sunday? Everybody's not there. And I says, Dad is not there. I used to call him Pops. I said, Pops doesn't go to church every Sunday. He only goes when it's special occasion, right? And my mother, and I said, but so why do we have to go? Why can't we stay here? And my mother said, you know what? I don't know if he's getting into heaven, but I'm getting you into heaven. She was going to make sure. So I said to her, I don't want to go to heaven if Pops is going to heaven. I want to go with him, right? Because he was my dad and we were going to go together. But it was her responsibility to get us to church. And anytime we didn't get up to go, he would come and says, he would call my mother, Hilda, aren't you getting them up to go to church? Because it was her job to make sure. So, you know, fathers are a very important role in the lives of children. Very important. And how much we now need to see fathers, good Christian fathers, in the life of the young people. Amen? How much more we need to see that? Right, friends? We have a nation that is in trouble. And statistics tells us that it's getting worse. And oftentimes, your young men, young women make trouble too, but oftentimes your young men, and I would say, what is missing? They're missing godly men and fathers who will show them what to do. And my third point is, a praying father will be a godly model for his children. Will be a godly model for that child. A praying father will model what it means for that child, right? Because that child will see and know and understand that they have a dad who cares. Now, here's some qualities of a father, right? Of a good Christian father, friends. It's not on the slides today. You'll have to listen a little bit. And I'm just going to bring it up on my other thing here. A good Christian father is what? Dependable. It is dependability. A good father is dependability. You can depend on that father. Being there through thick and thin. This is not just being present and correct. It's about being consistently available for our kids to good times and bad. That is a good father. Number two, involvement, right? Being personally engaged in our kids' lives, interests, hopes, and dreams on a daily basis. Being curious and attentive requires us to put our distractions to the side. So you see, a good father is involved in his kids' life. Amen? A good father, and I always say a good godly father because he has to be led by something moral, has compassion. You know, there are some fathers who are bullies, right? They bully their children, but that's not what it should be. They should have compassion. Showing compassion, hope, and belief when our child needs it the most. A good father should be there showing compassion. Compassion is a state of mind or attitude that really helps us to feel connected and close to the human experience of being a child. Got to show compassion to our children, men, fathers today. And a good father what? Values the mother. Valuing of mother, right? Values the mother of their children. We know we live in a world now on TV sometimes, and it happens, it always happens, but now we see it in social media that there are these men who treat their mothers of their children badly, But a good father should value the mother of their children, showing respect and love of our kids' mother. Showing respect and love. Because what are you doing? You're modeling how your child should be. So if you have a son, that son will grow up to do what? To be like you. And if you have a daughter, that daughter will understand that she should not be in a relationship with a man who's going to treat her badly. Right? So it will be modeled. She will model, they will model your behavior. A good father should have empathy. Right? Listening emphatically in order to be understanding, present and engaged. Putting ourselves into the shoes of others enables them to be heard. Sometimes we have to put ourselves in the shoes of our children and remember that we are children and have empathy for them, fathers. Amen? Amen. A good father. And a good father, it should be what? It should be verbally expressive. You know, communication is very important. And some fathers don't speak. They don't speak to their children. And the children are needing just to hear from them. Right? And so being verbally expressive is very important in the life of a child. Right? Tell them you love them. They want to hear daddy say you love them. They know mama says that she loves them because she tells them all the time. But a good father, wherever you are, in line or wherever you are, tell them you love them. They want to know that you care, right? So they don't feel empty and alone. And then go outside to look for love in all the wrong places, as the song says. They'll know that they have love at home, right? And it says, now being human. You know what being human means, the next point? That when they make a mistake, it's all right. Because you're human and they're human. Right? You figure it out. To own mistakes. When we're good fathers, we have to own mistakes, fathers. And to be open with feedback. You know, if daddy does something wrong, sometimes a child can say, well, I don't agree. Huh? You don't agree? I came out of that culture. I go to my dad. You don't agree, says, don't agree with what? Right? You don't agree with what? That was the culture. I thank God my dad was never abusive, he was a loving man, but just one look. And if he says, you gotta come in at this time at night, and I says, Pops, I don't agree, he would say, you don't agree with what? There wouldn't be any other conversation. You didn't want to hear why I don't agree. It wasn't that dialogue. Right? It was, you're not going. But nowadays, things are different. You have to have a conversation, right? Discuss. Young mothers and fathers, we are old. We might have messed up, but guess what? We're trying to teach you what to do now and to be honest. Honesty is another. Teach and live by the values of honesty, right? Good fathers today and Father's Day. And you know what another point is? Playfulness. Right? Play with your children. Do you know what I mean? Some fathers are so stiff, they don't play. Sometimes you gotta go and play with them. No, we are older now. I can't get down on the ground to play with a grandchild. I'll just have to lay there and somebody have to pick me up. But you know, young fathers, you know, you play with them. Play games. Let them know that there's another side. Because then they want to be with you, friends. Amen. And then being industrious. Model for them what it means to work. Model for them what it means to go to work and to make a living. Right? Model that for them. And so we see here with Jairus, he says, while he was yet still speaking, someone came from the leader's house and said, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher any longer. And when Jesus heard this, he replied, do not fear, only believe, and she will be saved. And the Bible tells us that Jairus believed. He was a man of faith. He believed God, and his daughter was saved. And so, fathers, men of faith who are here, you're here in this church because you are men of faith. You believe in God in your own way. And these things have been important to your children. And even when they turn away from God, if you have modeled that for them, I tell you, they will sometime in their life come back to it. They'll say, when times get hard, this is what I saw my daddy did. You know, or they'll pick up the phone and call their father because they know they'll get what? They'll get good advice from their father. Amen? They know because they've seen how their father had treated their mothers, and they've seen how their fathers have been an example in the house, have been that model. And most of all, they've seen their fathers pray. Very important, fathers. Pray so your children see you pray. Even if it's just to say the Our Father, I shouldn't say even just, because the Our Father is an excellent prayer. Pray with them. Pray with them at mealtime. Sometimes you have to pray with them at nighttime. Pray with them, fathers, because they need it. They need it in the world. Amen. Amen. So for the fathers who are already doing it, the fathers who have been good model for their children, let us give them a hand today on Father's Day. Amen. And the fathers who haven't done it, there's still time. Because if we're alive, there's still time to do what God has called us to do. Amen. And so blessings on this Father's Day as we strive to be like Christ. Amen. Amen.